Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Amazing grace.
Thank you, Donald. That was beautiful. Well, I am truly, truly honored to stand up here with my brother. You know, I've thought about all the funny things I could say about David. I've been related to David for, how long have you been married? 35 years. David became my cousin 35 years ago, and Becky is my cousin. You know, I can't talk about David without talking about Becky and David. But what I want to talk about is, or at least what I want to share is about their passion. They're passionate about service. Most everybody knows David. If you don't know David, you know, I mean, David was ordained a minister 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. And he is absolutely passionate for serving the Lord. It's been awesome to serve with him in the East Local. I am truly honored to call him a friend and a fellow servant. And I know that he has one desire, and that is to feed us tonight and to serve. Recognize that he needs your prayers. We always need your prayers. David is, he's nervous, but he's nervous for a lot of reasons. He has a grandbaby. I've almost said granddaughter or grandson. He has one coming tomorrow, probably, hopefully. Lindsay, you need to get on that. But he's nervous because he wants to serve the Lord and do it right, and that exists within each of us. And so I would ask for an interest in your prayers for David. Give him your smiles, give him your support, and say a prayer for our brother, Elder David Rudd.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Jeff. Okay, I want to welcome you here tonight in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, I usually say a beautiful day. It's been a beautiful day, beautiful night to be here in the house of the Lord. You know, to worship him, to hear his word. You know, I was, Donald sang beautiful, beautiful, amazing grace, you know, and what, you know, the sermon is almost already done, I think. You know, it was beautiful, and to praise our God and to give him the glory in all things. I will ask that if you brought your scriptures, pull them out, follow along. To go with, actually, our brother Brian yesterday, our brother Buzz a couple of weeks ago, had said if you have a phone and you don't have your scriptures, pull that out. If you need help putting the Book of Mormon on your phone, our brother Jeff, he's the one that got it on my phone. And so, you know, and the Bible on your phone. I preached a wedding. I was able last year in Arizona. And, you know, at that time, I, you know, thought that I couldn't use any other technology. You know, I had to use. And so I walked up front. I wanted to read the scriptures out of the Bible. And so I had my sermon, I had my Bible, and I get there, and it was outside, and I had a handheld microphone, too. And, you know, my brother Buzz had told me, oh, yeah, you can type this sermon, you can type the scripture in your notes, so you don't have to do that. So I fumbled, and I did okay, but I did fumble. My son-in-law enjoyed the comedy, I think. And if we have that technology, use it for the good. Use it for the good. You know, whatever is going to keep us to follow the scriptures and to follow God's commandments, you know, use it. You know, if we're not strained from our from the foundation, you know, it's not different on your phone than it is, you know, in the scriptures, if it is the true scriptures there. So I encourage you to do that. I have an app that on my Bible app, and it's probably going off now at about 7:15 every night. It gives me a verse of the day, you know, and I'll, you know, so this, you know, just anything we can do to keep our hearts and keep our focus on God. You know, and today I'm going to start with Psalm 118:24. And it says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And if I would have known the junior choir sang it yesterday, I would have had them sing it tonight. You know, about a month ago, I was, you know, thoughts have been rolling in my mind on, I knew, here I am, preaching at conference, you know, with everybody from out of town, you know, and the scriptures, thoughts have been coming to my mind, and this came to my mind, and I think because I love music, I'm sure it was the kids singing it in my mind from Bible school or whatever, but I thought of that, you know, this, and every day, every morning I wake up and I think of that verse first, you know, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." You know, should we? That makes my day great. That makes my day to start. You know, we have, you know, so many things, work. We have so many things we have to do each day. But if we can start with the Lord, you know, read the scriptures. But, you know, you can remember that verse. Easy little verse. You know, think of the Lord when you start your day. You know, this will help us stay on track, you know, by starting our day with the Lord. You know, I want to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. And I'm going to start with verse 16. It says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, we are blessed people. You know, we need to be strong in our convictions to God. You know, we need to, you know, tonight I'm going to talk about the need to have that boldness for the Lord. You know, I looked up the definition of bold in the King James Dictionary, and it says, daring, courageous, brave, intrepid, fearless, and confident. You know, being from Independence, you know, when I think of someone who shows that boldness for the Lord, you know, I think of our brother Randy Sheldon. You know, anybody that knows Randy knows where he stands. And I asked our brother Randy, I asked him beforehand, I said, can I say your name? And he said, sure. You know, he said you wouldn't have had to ask. But, you know, it's, you know, he has that boldness. He has that boldness. We know where he stands. We know he's praising God. You know, we're not all like our brother Randy. You know, we all have different personalities, different strengths. But we can all have that same boldness for the Lord in our lives. You know, boldness comes from the confidence we have in Christ. Boldness can be kind, gentle, humble, and from a loving heart. You know, when we have a confidence in knowing who he is and what he can do, this attitude directly affects how we deal with the matters in our day-to-day lives. When we have that confidence in the Lord, the sky's the limit. We can venture beyond our abilities and stepping out of our comfort zones in the challenges of life. You know, last week, it was approaching. I thought, I have 1 week, and I'm going to be up here. And, you know, my fears were taken away. You know, I always pray unto God, but I thought, here I am talking about boldness. And here I am scared. I stepping out of my comfort zone, but he took it away from me. He took my fears away, you know, and God will help us in all things, and we must praise him. We must step out of our comfort zone. We must have a boldness in the actions we do and be an example. We have a challenge at the East Local, and it's believe in the power of the wonder of giving. You know, when we're out in the world, you know, can people tell by our actions that we love the Lord, that we're serving the Lord? You know, let's let them see by our actions. I want to turn. I always have to do a few songs in here. I'm not going to sing, but turn to page 162 in the hymnal. You know, there's so much inspiration. You know, as we sing the songs in the hymnal, you know, these songs have been inspired by God, and this song is Dare to Do Right. You know, and I'm going to read it here. It says, dare to do right, dare to be true. You have a work that no other can do. Do it so bravely, so kindly, so well. Angels will hasten the story to tell. And then it says, dare to do right, dare to be true. Other men's failures can never save you. Stand by your conscience, your honor, your faith. Stand like a hero and battle till death. Third verse, dare to do right, dare to be true. God who created you cares for you too. Treasures the tears that his striving ones shed. Counts and protects every hair on your head. Dare to do right, dare to be true. Keep the great judgment day always in view. Look at your work as you'll look at it then, scanned by Jehovah and angels and men. And then the last verse, dare to do right, dare to be true. Jesus, your Savior, will carry you through. City and mansion and throne all in sight. Can you not dare to be true and do right? You know, it says, angels will hasten the story to tell. Dare to do right. Dare to be true. Dare to be true. You know, we need to dare to be right. We need to be bold in our approach to God. You know, we need to build that close relationship through prayer, studying of the scriptures, so that we can stand strong in following his commandments. You know, we need to follow his scriptures, follow his commandments, do what is right. You know, I want to turn to Alma on page 429, Alma 16. And I'm going to start with 2:18, Alma 16, page 429. Says, therefore, may God grant unto you, my brethren, that you might begin to exercise your faith unto repentance, that ye begin to call upon his holy name, that he would have mercy upon you. Yea, cry unto him for mercy, for he is mighty to save. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when ye are in your fields, yea, over your flock. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, which is the enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto him over the crops of your fields, that you may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets, and in your secret places, and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full. Drawn out in prayer unto him continually, for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those that are around you. We need to talk to God through prayer. We need to keep our thoughts, our focus on him. He's the one that will keep us on the right track. We need to pray. We need to be prayer warriors for our missionaries. Our brother Brian was up here yesterday, brother Jay, brother Mike, all our many ministry that, go in foreign lands. The dangers there are. We must remember to lift them up in our prayers, ask for protection and guidance in the ministry. God hears and will answer our prayers. Our ministry that travel, they travel there, they have to be bold. They have to have courage. They're there to share the gospel to all those that they come in contact with. They're there for that mission, but there are dangers, and we're here. We can lift them up in prayer. We can lift them up, and God will answer. When we're here and we have a problem, we ask for prayers. Our missionaries need it. They need it in their day-to-day travel there. Let's turn to Joshua 1. Okay, Joshua 1, I'm going to start with verse 5, and it says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. We need to be strong, we need to have courage, by foot putting our faith and trust in God. He will direct our path and lead us in our lives. We have that promise that the Lord, thy God, is with us everywhere we go. So we need to seek him. We need to seek him in our day-to-day life. In all things, put our trust in God. Let's turn to 2 Nephi, page 94. 2 Nephi, page 94, the fourth chapter. I'm going to start with verse 57. And it says, O Lord, wilt thou make a way for my escape before mine enemies? Wilt thou make my path straight before me? Wilt thou not place a stumbling block in my way? But that thou wouldst clear my way before me, and hedge not up my way, but the ways of mine enemy. O Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust in thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to him that asketh. Yea, my God will give me, if I ask not amiss. Therefore I will lift up my voice unto thee. Yea, I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my righteousness. Behold, my voice shall forever ascend up unto thee, my rock and mine everlasting God. Amen. You know, we need to stand firm on the gospel of Christ, you know, by putting our faith and trust in him. You know, I have a question, and I want to ask, when in our lives were we the strongest in our desires to serve God? You know, and, you know, I'm sure for most of us, all those baptized members, I'm sure the day we were baptized, you know, we went into the waters of baptism. We repented of our sins. Our sins were washed away. You know, we had the laying on of hands for the reception of the Holy Ghost. You know, we were strong. We were ready to take on everything. We were ready to serve our God. We were going to follow his commandments. We were not going to do anything wrong. Let's turn to 2 Nephi 13 on page 161. And this talks on baptism. So page 161. And I'm going to start with the 14th verse, chapter 13. And it says, And the Father saith, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, He that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost like unto me. Wherefore follow me, and do the things which ye have seen me do. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon him the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following the Lord and Savior down into the water, according to his word, behold, then shall ye receive the Holy Ghost. Yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost, and then can ye speak with tongues of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. But behold, my beloved brethren, thus came the voice of the Son unto me, saying, After that ye have repented of your sins and witnessed unto the Father that ye are willing to keep my commandments by the baptism of water and have received the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost and can speak with a tongue, yea, even with the tongue of angels, and after this should deny me, it would have been better for you that ye had not known me. And I heard the voice of the Father saying, Yea, the words of my beloved are true and faithful. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved, unless a man shall endure to the end, and following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. Wherefore do the things which I have told you that I have seen, that your Lord and Redeemer should do. For this cause have they been shown unto me, that ye might know the gate by which ye should enter. For the gate by which you should enter is repentance and baptism by water. And then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in the straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, have ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye entered in by the way, you should receive. Now listen to this next passage. Here we are, you know, we've come into the water of baptism. We've repented. We are living our lives. And it says, and now, my beloved brethren, after you have gotten into the straight and the narrow path, I would ask, if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye should press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now, behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way. There is none other way nor name given under heaven, whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now, behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only true doctrine of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God, without end. Amen. You know, so here we are. We've been baptized, ready to do everything right. You know, but what happens? You know, what happens? We get out into the world. You know, we get out in the world. There's day-to-day temptations. We get lax. We get comfortable. You know, let our focus waver into the things of the world. You know, we need to figure out ways that we can keep our focus on serving God. You know, it's important that we take every opportunity to strengthen our faith. Do we take advantage of attending all the church services and church activities that are offered? You know, the more we meet together with our brothers and sisters for worship, for fellowship, the stronger we can be avoiding the temptations of the world. You know, we learn in our prayer and testimony services. You know, Saturday was a beautiful prayer and testimony service. We heard of all the blessings from all our brothers and sisters. And it strengthens us. You know, so we need to be here. We need to, every opportunity, you know, and, you know, must come and worship, but then also the activities that are our fellowship. Come and fellowship with your brothers and sisters. Show that love that God wants us to give to each one. You know, there are many stories in the scriptures, you know, of men and women that showed a boldness by having faith and courage and trusting the Lord. You know, I would like to read one story, and it's from Daniel. Chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to start with verse 10, and we all know this story, you know, and I'll skip the first part, but, you know, there was King Nebuchadnezzar, and he wanted people to bow down and worship him, worship the golden statue. You know, He commanded everybody to do that. And I'll start with verse 10. It says, thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that will hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship thee, thy golden image, which thou hast set." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded his army, and he commanded the most mighty men and were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that had took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in his haste and spake and said unto the counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." The Lord will be with us in all things if we have that faith. You know, here it is, and it keeps going in there, and it says, you know, the king was scared then. These men had that courage, and so the king was scared. He promoted them. He was scared because these men knew that they were with the Lord. Do we act bold for the Lord? You know, let's turn to Galatians 6. And I'm just going to read two verses. Galatians 6, verse 9 and 10, it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are the household of faith." You know, we must be ready and willing to reach out and help our brothers and sisters with whatever needs they have. You know, last week, short notice, we helped a sister that she was stressed. She lived on a second floor of apartment building, and she had, for months, she has wanted to get out of this, and they gave her a first floor apartment. And so I sent a text out, and a few of us could go. I mean, they had 1 hour's notice. And we got there, we got her moved, and You know, we have to be ready. We need to, must be ready. You know, what would the Lord do? Would the Lord want us to help someone in need? Of course. Of course. So, you know, must be ready and willing to reach out to help our brothers and sisters. You know, can people tell that we serve our God from our actions? You know, think when you're out in the world, do you think that someone's going to know who you serve? You know, that you are a good person, that you, how you act, how we are in the world. You know, we can be good here at church, and we can be good outside of church, let's hope. You know, but show that love one to another. Reach out to all. You know, I have another story here, and this story, I'm going to ask if there's a name here, and does anyone know who Cody Parkey is? And Tony's nodding his head. And Cody Parkey, and I knew Tony would, because it's sports related. So I'm going to read this story. On Sunday, January 6th, Chicago's Soldier Field was packed with fans hoping to see their Bears advance to the NFL playoffs for the first time since 2010. A win would put them in the playoffs. A hard-fought third quarter of football saw the Bears ahead. But the Eagles came to fight. They rallied in the fourth quarter, scoring a touchdown that put them ahead by a single point. All was lost, it seemed. The Bears kept pushing, and with just a few seconds left on the clock, were in field goal position. This was it. It was all down to the foot and the fortitude of Chicago Bears kicker Cody Parkey. Cody lined up, took the kick, and he nailed it. You know, they were 1 point behind. He nailed the field goal to win the game. But it says, unfortunately for the home crowd, the Eagles had called a last-second timeout, and the kick would have to be retaken. Anything that can be done once can be done twice, right? Not so in this particular case. Parkey set up again, let a second kick loose, and the stadium held its breath. Instead of sailing through the uprights like the previous kick, the football was deflected ever so slightly off the hands of the Eagles defender. It faded left, hit two posts just so, and fell to the ground as time expired. And it was no good. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles won, and the Chicago Bears season had been ended. But Parkey's inspirational story had just begun. When his foot let him down, Cody Parkey turned to God to give thanks. Parkey, a lifelong Christian, knew that all of life's trials and blessings are due unto him. It's no surprise that he managed to weather the post-game onslaught of questions like a pro. You know, Parkey carries Jesus in his heart and draws on God's strength in the face of all his trials. You know, it's easy to be bold and praise God when things are going good and the way we want it to go. But how about when things aren't going our way? You know, it's hard to fight through the disappointment, but we need to continue to seek and pray to God for that comfort in our lives. And he will always be there for us. You know, this Cody Parkey, he was let go from the Bears. He's out there and maybe he'll be picked up by somebody. But he standed firm on praising God. I mean, he could have crumbled, missing it. I mean, of course, he told everyone he was sorry. You know, he didn't say, well, tough, you know, I'm, you know. He told him he was sorry. He was disappointed. But he still went. He lifted. He had a thing where he would praise God. And when he'd do a kick, whatever, he would point to God, point up. And then he would do a prayer. Members that were in the faith would have a prayer circle after every game. He still did that. And are we going to be that strong? You know, when we have disappointments in life, Can we be strong? Can we hold true to God? Can we follow his commandments? Let's turn to John 15. Okay, John 15, I'm going to start with verse 7. It says, this is Jesus speaking. It says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friends if you do whatever I command you. You know, do we do whatever he commands us? You know, do we abide in him and let his words abide in us in our life? You know, do we live our lives by the example that Jesus has given us? You know, 1 Timothy 4:12 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. You know, I know we all believe in God and his goodness. I have to read one of my favorite scriptures, and it's Mosiah 2. We can all say this one by heart, too. Mosiah 2. It's on page 220, I think. 220. With verse 13. It says, believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things both in heaven and earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them. Humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that he will forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. You know, and that's the key there. You know, we believe, we repent, we can humble ourselves. But that 17th verse says, and now if you believe all these things, see that you do them. You know, I want to tell you some blessings in my life. You know, last December 20th, the company that I was working for called us all in, you know, 5 days before Christmas, and they said, we're closing in 60 days. And I was blessed in the, you know, I was blessed in, you know, I had a comfort and I didn't have a worry. I did have a worry for the people of the plant, the people that were out in the press room, the people in the bindery. I thought, it's 5 days before Christmas. This ruins their Christmas, you know. So I was upset for them. And then a few weeks later, we had a job fair. And that job fair, we had like 22 printing companies come. And as I go through, what they wanted was all of our bindery and our press room. They didn't want somebody from the office necessarily. They'd hear my qualifications, I'd get up there, and they say, oh yeah, we're not hiring for that, you know. But there was one company in Topeka and that said, oh, we could work with you. Topeka is, with no traffic, is an hour and 20 minutes each way. And they said, you know, we could work with you. You could work remote part of the time. And so, you know, I'm thinking things are great. So I went for an interview, and they said, time yourself as you come. And I should have known that was a key here. So I get there, great interview, and then they said, oh, and you need to work in the office every day. And so I didn't want to burn my bridges, didn't want to say, well, you said that I could work remote, you know. So I didn't say anything, and I left, and, you know, I was a little down. I was trusting in God that all would be good, but here I was, my hope there. I'm thinking, okay, is it going to be very easy? And then I'm driving home, and I get a phone call, and a company in North Kansas City, right here, said, oh, we'd like you to come in for an interview on Monday. And I know that I think our sacrament service was the day before I was going in there, but I asked for prayers, you know, and that's why we need to come to church. We need to come to church and fellowship one with another, because I know I had prayers lifted up from all my brothers and sisters, you know. So I go in Monday, go into this interview, and things are going good. They're like, okay, this is great. And then they said, you know, we really don't have a job yet. But they said, maybe in a couple weeks, we might get this big account, and we might have a job. So I leave there dejected. And, you know, Becky, you know, I need Becky, because she is there. She's like, aren't you trusting in God? And I said, I am. I'm just nervous. I guess before that, I had had another interview that went great, and it was here in town. And that's when she was like, I just expected it went great. I thought they'd call me that day and say, you have the job. And they didn't call me that day. And she said, aren't you trusting in God? And I said, I am. But, you know, that the fear of, okay, I could be without a job. So I leave that company, though, that said they didn't have a job. And within the hour, they called me and said, can you call me back? And I called them, and they said, we figured something out. You know, you could do this, and we want to hire you. Well, so I got that job offer. Then on Friday, the interview that had went so well that I wanted to call me right away made me a job offer. Then another man, that a salesman of ours, wanted somebody to work remote, and he said, we really want you. And so they rushed me through. By the end, I had three job offers, and I got to pick the best of the three. You know, I was worried. I was like, oh, I got to turn somebody down. And everybody was like, oh, don't worry. They'll find somebody else, you know. But I was blessed. You know, I could say, hey, it's because I'm so good. But no. It's because God blessed me. He blessed me. He blesses me every day. I have been blessed with my son-in-law and Tony and Lindsay and Blakely. You know, Tony has this job that, you know, here's Lindsay, married Tony, moved to Phoenix. Courtney is married, lives in California. You know, we just get to FaceTime these little grandkids. We are blessed. I've had Blakely sleeps with us every night and just smiles at us, and it is a joy. Joy to have. You know, I'm treasuring these times. We have till July, and then probably they're somewhere else. You know, and tomorrow we're going to have a new baby. You know, God is blessing us with another little grandchild. You know, I think Brian and me, if it's a girl, it should be named Brianna DeVita, I think. Don't you think? You know, I think that won't work, but you know. But we're blessed. You know, God has blessed me so. And, you know, we just have to, you know, this company that I work for now, is it easy? No. Is it a challenge? Yes. You know, but I'm up for the challenge, and I enjoy it. There are temptations. If anybody knows me, I love to eat. I'm type 2 diabetic, and I really shouldn't have sweets, and I have gained 10 pounds, and I've been there a month, gained 10 pounds, and because they have food all the time, and it's wonderful, but I need to focus, you know, so there's temptations everywhere we go, you know, and it's not that I got put in this job that's just easy and I can just sit back and, you know, it takes lots of work, but God has blessed me. You know, I want to turn to 205 in the hymnal. You know, and this is the point of the sermon. You know, this is He Lives. You know, and it says, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. And it says, rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. And then the chorus, He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives within my heart. You know, there's so much inspiration from these hymns. You know, let's let Christ live in our heart. You know, can people see our actions in our lives? You know, can we have that boldness for the Lord? When we go out of here, you know, have that thought of praising God to all you come in contact to. You know, we can't all be Randys, but in our own way, people can see. Let people see how we love the Lord and how we can be bold for His gospel. I want to read one more scripture. And it's one verse. It's Mosiah 3 on page 225. And it's verse 21, and it says, therefore I would that you should be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in good works, that Christ the Lord omnipotent may seal you His, that you may be brought to heaven, that you may have everlasting salvation and eternal life through the wisdom and the power and justice and mercy of Him who has created all things in heaven and in earth, who is God above all. Amen. You know, so we need to be steadfast, put Christ first in our lives. We need to serve Him with gladness. And I just want to end with how I started. You know, Psalm 118, and Psalm 118, 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So thank you very much.